sun and change in the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of.
And welcome to episode 3 of The Dig. I'm Spencer Witt, Sam Anthony alongside me. Sam, how you doing today?
Well, we haven't been canceled yet, so that's cool. I'm pretty excited.
I feel like it's got to be difficult to get canceled on this
podcast. I don't think you can cancel an Army radio show, but I bet we could find out what it would take.
I don't want to go that far.
Swearing.
Yeah.
Anything that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on, you know, we could make it happen if you want. Just say the word. You're the producer.
Pure anger on the entire show.
Yeah, I just berate Dale Starr.
I mean, it's pure anger is not the way to discuss this past weekend, but it's still a little bit below anger. I think it's more disappointment.
Yeah, frustration, crushed hopes and dreams. I wouldn't say crushed, but they've definitely been stepped on a little bit.
So, of course, if you haven't been tuning into Army Volleyball this past weekend, they played at Fairleigh Dickinson on Friday, October 12th. They won 3-0 against the Knights, 25-19, 25-22, 25-21, and Sam, we talked about it. We expected that, really.
I mean, it wasn't a shock. I'm going to be honest there. I mean, I looked at it and I went, oh, all right, Robert Morris. I mean, Fairleigh Dickinson is 2-18. One, a loss against them would have effectively ended Robert Morris' season because you're getting closer to that you have to go undefeated phase, and if you can't even beat the worst team in the conference, and I'm confident in saying that Fairleigh Dickinson is the worst team in the conference, then you really just don't have anything going for you. So, I mean, but I'm glad it was a sweep because it was one of those things where if it goes 5 sets, if it goes 4, and you start to wonder, wow, like they're competing with a team that's just not good. I mean, they proved they were the better team, and they did it in a very, you know, I can't even think of the word. They dominated them.
It's a complete.
Very dominant, just, yeah.
Yeah, it was the
a
win.
Complete game.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
I guess you could put it like that, yeah. The game leaders, Emma Granger had 15 kills. Mirna Sojanovic had 9, and Maria Alfano had 8. Erica Wild had 2 aces. And for Diggs, Ali Yurkovic, 22. Mirna Sojanovic with 10, and Erica Wild with 10 as well. On the other side for FDU, Natalia Rubakova had 9 kills. Erica Selvin with 9, and Magdalena Maximovic, with 7. Diggs, Jessica Throckmorton. What a name.
Throckmorton.
Throckmorton. Throckmorton.
That's a name I describe as you had to be an athlete to go have a name like Throckmorton.
I feel like a Throckmorton, I feel like that just sounds like some like bulky dude who's
that's
just
what
like,
I'm saying. Like Throck is like their first name. Yeah.
What kind of name was that? Can you imagine naming your kid Throck? I feel like you either, he has to be, like, strong. There's no
think,
option,
right?
Really.
Yeah.
I also feel like everybody in school would, like, hate him, though.
Oh,
just already off of his name. They'd be like, he's just a jerk.
Yeah. Throck's such a douche, you know, just the worst.
Jalen Young had 9 digs. Magdalena Maximovic had 8 as well. So RMU won pretty convincingly there, and FDU has been FDU for the past 4 years at least and had been bottom 2 in the conference. Bottom 3, actually, correction, in the conference the past 4 years and looking to stay that way again. They then went on Saturday. They took on Sacred Heart on the road as well. They lost that one 3-1, 17-25. They won the second set, and then they lost 25-18 and 25-21. And we said it before, that was a game you really had to win, but they did not.
It was a confidence thing. Like, you expect to go beat a Fairleigh Dickinson, a St. Francis Brooklyn, the 2 conference wins Robert Morris have so far, they haven't had that statement win. And you really thought, especially after they beat Houston, that this was a team you're confident in, that they got their statement win, they got exactly what they wanted. And then, you know, you get to Sacred Heart, and they could have pulled out that first set. It was a close first set. Something important I want to mention is it looks like Taylor Lord was hurt, that she did not play this weekend. Reasons why, I don't know. It could be that she was hurt. It could be they were resting her. It could be any number of things that we can, you know, I can't say for sure. But that was definitely an important loss in terms of maturity. But, I mean, Spencer, I don't know how you feel about it, but I think we're on the same page in saying that Robert Morris, they needed that win. It wasn't that they needed it in the sake of guaranteeing them to get in, because that win guarantees you nothing. But what that does is it gives you confidence. You know, you get your first weekend sweep in terms of conference play, heading into a home weekend against two of the top four teams in the conference. Now you're heading in with really two not very exciting wins to hang your heads on, and that's it. So going into this huge weekend, that is a must-win weekend for Robert Morris, there's no confidence to me.
Emma Granger had 13 kills, Maria Alfano with 11, and Mirna Sarjanovic with 8. Ali Jurkovic had 20 digs, Mirna Sarjanovic had 8, and Whitney Brown had 4 on the other side. Alex Polk had 14 kills for Sacred Heart, Liesl Nellis with 11, and Sarah Sisek with 8. Liesl Nellis had 13 digs, Sarah Sisek had 12, and all it says is Smallcomb. I don't know the first name because I guess it doesn't fit on the line, had 11 digs as well. Probably could have just left that off, but I did not.
You know, very interesting. This weekend was a really big weekend for Granger, Alfano, and Sarjanovic were the top three in terms of kills each match this weekend.
Yeah.
I always think that's interesting to see how it changes, because usually it is two different players in two different games over the weekend. This was very consistent. Interesting it was Sarjanovic.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most notable one to me.
When RMU played LAU Brooklyn, they brought Sarjanovic in that third set where they won. They won that set 25-19 against the top team, LAU Brooklyn. Sarjanovic came in, and she had 100% hitting success rate the first four or five attacks. Like, they couldn't pass her up. They couldn't block her at all. And so I was impressed how she had really changed that momentum, but we haven't really seen much of her. I don't know if because of injury or because of just health or just because they want to switch up the people, but it was interesting to see her come in and perform pretty well, and it looked like she performed fairly well against Sacred Heart as well.
Yeah, I mean, her hitting percentage wasn't great. It was 250, which, I mean, you're comparing it to Granger and Alfano at 346, 375. I mean, it's going to look bad when you compare to those, but those are pretty outstanding.
Yeah, and hitting percentage, especially in the middle, is a little tougher because a lot of times, or comparing them, because outside hitters, you get two blocks on you every time, just about, unless the block is late. In the middle, depending on how quick the set is and how quick everything goes, you only have one block sometimes.
Yeah, so it provides a different kind of challenge.
You have a bit more room to attack and room to put the ball somewhere compared to the on the block.
Yeah, so, I mean, for Sarjanovic, they were solid numbers.
Yeah.
And I expect, the thing I like about this weekend is that you saw Emma Granger play consistently. I don't know how you feel about this either, Spencer, but to me, she's the best player on the floor.
She
needs to be the best player on the floor if they want to win. And she has been, which is good. But again, there clearly needs to be more there besides Emma Granger being the best on the floor. But it always feels like so far this season with those losses, it's either been Emma Granger's there and nobody else is, or everybody else is there and Emma Granger's not. Very rarely have we seen, you know, kind of it all come together. And whether that's, you know, a play calling thing, whether that's a chemistry thing, I mean, the thing is they have to figure it out. They have to figure it out soon, because you're at that point where you realistically need to win most of the way out, because it's a pretty solid four teams in terms of volleyball right now. LIU, Central Connecticut, Bryant, and I'm trying to remember the fourth team, but it's a pretty solid four.
Sacred Heart.
Yeah. I mean, they solidify themselves right now as what looks like to be the playoff teams.
Yeah. So, I mean, you talked about how they need to do it soon. They need to get things going soon. That's this weekend they'll play against Central Connecticut, who is tied for second in the conference right now. That'll play the October 19th at 7 p.m. That game will be on necfrontrow.com, of course.
Spencer, what are we expecting you on the call this
weekend? I will, of course. I'm trying to be on every volleyball call. So far, so good.
You know, I'm going to have to tune in because I'm not going to be on the call, so I'm definitely going to have to tune in.
Tune in.
I might go to the game. We don't know. We'll see what happens. So I might make an appearance. But yeah, talking about Central Connecticut, one, oh my goodness. I mean, that last time they played them, back in September 21st, an 0-3 sweep where they lost the second set 25-15.
That's not good.
And that was the first game of conference play, and you probably don't think about it at that moment about how significant that loss was.
Yeah.
But that was a bad loss.
And they were riding such a high against playing like Houston and Eastern Michigan, and yeah, they lost to Purdue Fort Wayne 3-1, but that's good Macedon's team. Like, you thought, Okay, they got some momentum here, and they go up all the way to Connecticut, probably one of the farthest drives in the area, going all the way up there.
Yeah.
And they just lost.
I mean, lost, didn't show anything from that. And, you know, looking at the numbers from this game, again, besides just the box score, it was a game where Emma Granger, again, didn't see a ton of action. Her hitting percentage was .385, which is good, but only 7 kills. Taylor Lord had a good game with 10 kills there. But besides that, nobody really... Allison Londa was the only other one, but she had 8 kills, but a hitting percentage of .083. So not going well there. For Robert Morris, I guess, you know, again, taking a look at this Central Connecticut team, it's Rachel Chiarte. I can't even
pronounce it.
Chiarte. And then Madeline Caprellin.
Yes.
Yeah. Those seem to be their top two. And they dominated Robert Morris. I mean, 12 and 13 kills in that first one. A .462 hitting percentage for Caprellian. I mean, Central Connecticut right now looks like a much better team. And they're a team that not only, you know, went and took that win and ran with it, but they've continued to be really great in this conference season. So
you get that Friday game against CCSU. And like we said, it's a must-win game for Robert Morris.
I mean, everything is, I guess, a must-win at this point. I mean, would you agree with me in that sense?
I'd give maybe one loss, but even then, that's still asking. You would need a lot of help. So the best situation for you, obviously, is just you have to win out if you want any chance.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Central Connecticut's coming into this matchup actually after taking a 3-0 sweep, losing to the Bryant Bulldogs. I mean, Bryant dominated them, winning 25-21, winning 25-14. So worse than what Central Connecticut did for Robert Morris, and then 25-21, which, I mean, that to me is just, it's interesting. It's something that's definitely notable, especially because, you know, again, looking at these stat lines here, Caprellian had 5 kills and Chiarte had 8. So they did a pretty good job of, you know, quieting them a little bit. And that's a huge loss. So you can look at that two ways. You can look at that as, hey, Central Connecticut's a team that is beatable because they took Bryant to 5 sets.
Can you look at the stats real quick for me one more time? How many blocks did Bryant have?
Let me see.
I mean, I could look at it myself.
No,
but
I got it. I'm ready. They had
in each
one solo block.
Okay.
This is total. One solo block, 8 block assists, 5 blocks total.
So five
and
blocks.
CCSU had 15. Yeah.
So clearly CCSU is a big blocking team.
Yep.
That gives a lot of issues to Robert Morris.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to play what I like to call scrappy volleyball, where you're getting every point based off of the miscues of other teams and just putting the ball in spots where CCSU is going to have a lot of trouble just picking it back up.
And it's funny because I would say scrappy volleyball is what's really stopped the Colonials this season. You've seen a lot of losses where they've actually gotten more kills, scored more points than the other teams. But it's just, again, mistakes, errors, bad bounces, taking advantage of those things is what other teams have been doing to kind of stop Robert Morris this season. So, like you said, it plays into the fact that that's really going to be a challenge for Robert Morris, as that's typically been a problem for them. Is that, I guess, I mean, we'll coin the term scrappy volleyball now. Yeah. Is that what we're going to call it?
I mean, that is a very well-known term in volleyball, in the fact that, like, your hitters aren't very good, but you pass everything up, and it's annoying. And I think that's what kind of Robert Morris is looking at right now, is that you really have to be you have to be annoying to these top teams.
So, Spencer, what I'm going to ask you then, because to me, and this is something I like to bring up, is the fact that Emma Granger is a really great decoy. Not only is she a great offensive player, but a great decoy. So if you're Robert Morris, is one of the moves to kind of use players like Granger rather than, you know, going through Granger to get that win, but using her to kind of lead the way to maybe other players, a different style of play?
I think it's based on how CCSU and Bryant both play RMU. If they start like double blocking or triple blocking Emma Granger, which I don't think I've seen triple blocks yet, but like if they concentrate themselves on Granger, then you got to start setting it outside and setting it to the back. Then you really start opening up your entire team. But I still think you, like we said before, she's the best player on the court, arguably. I think you go through her. If it doesn't work, then you go to the outsides. And if that doesn't work, well, you're not going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they can't afford that.
No.
So it's one of those things that's very interesting to me because there were really high expectations going into this season. And the fact that they haven't gone the way they should. And let's just talk hypothetically in the sense that what happens if Robert Morris, you know, again, they get swept this weekend, so they don't win either game. You're effectively almost out because then, you know, the top teams
you're
are
out.
Getting... Yeah.
You're out.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put that right there.
That's fine. We'll lock it down. We'll say they're done. When you're looking at this season, all right, is it a complete disappointment? Because the other thing you have to consider is, one, the depth of the young talent on this team, which, you know, I believe that for the junior and senior year of a lot of these players, I mean, again, this team is mostly freshmen and sophomores. This team's only going to get better. So I wouldn't consider it a complete failure. I don't know how you feel about it, but I would say, you know, it's one of those things where the youth really showed almost a sophomore slump in a sense, because you knew Granger wasn't going to be as dominant as she had been the year before because teams were going to start scouting her. And they'd started to scout her at the end of last year, and you saw that. So, yeah, I mean, would you consider this season a total disappointment if they don't make the playoffs?
No, not at all. I'd consider it a disappointment, though. I think, again, the volleyball team, one of the most successful teams at Robert Morris in the past decade, you know, going to a couple national tournaments, being top four in their conference year in and year out, it is a little bit disappointing. I expect them, I'm just going to put this out here now, I expect them to finish sixth and out of eight teams.
Wow.
So that would be beating,
St. Francis and Fairleigh Dickinson, right?
St. Francis, Brooklyn, and Fairleigh Dickinson. I could see them only winning four games and being against those two. Honestly, it just doesn't seem, especially if we go into this weekend and I don't want to say it's like a momentum killer because there's really no momentum, but like it deflates the balloon per se. It's you're out of breath, you're out of air, there's really nothing to play for other than just playing, and you just kind of, I don't want to say roll over and die, but you're just kind of out of it, so you don't really have any interest in playing. And these teams that are fighting for to get in, St. Francis, PA, Central Connecticut, Bryant, all those teams probably have more of a chip on their shoulder and are going to play harder and probably beat them.
And for me, Spencer, the other thing is even if Robert Morris somehow turns it around or sneaks into the playoffs, I really do not believe that they have a chance to win the tournament. I think, one, LU Brooklyn's still undefeated in conference play. They're 7-0, which in any Z play you just don't see a lot. You don't see a lot of teams go undefeated. I mean, you have to be pretty dominant. And if there's a team I expected to be dominant, it was LIU Brooklyn, because they're a team that, again, I would consider them the powerhouse of this conference in women's volleyball.
Yeah.
And they're showing it. I think if Robert Morris even snuck in as the four, they'd probably get knocked off in the first round again by LIU Brooklyn. So to me, it's one of those things where do you start changing the perception of this year with, you know, looking towards the future? Are you going to start trying new things, trying new players in different spots, and just giving it, you know, I guess, yeah, I mean, trying something new here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what you could try new per se. I don't know what your options are, but I think you talked about it before, and the fact that they are young definitely helps for the upcoming years, for the future, and I think that they could gel a little bit more, and that would definitely help them. But for now, it's just you got to play this weekend and you got to win. I wouldn't say if they do get in a four seed, I think you're right. I think they would lose. But they have shown flashes of brilliance a couple times this year. They beat, they took a set from LIU Brooklyn, which, in my personal opinion, was the best set they played all year. But against anybody. Now, I haven't really seen too much on the road, but in my personal opinion, I thought that was an LIU Brooklyn team that kind of their feet were on the backs of their feet a little bit. They really weren't too aggressive, and RMU took advantage of that, and they just kept firing at them, and it caught LIU Brooklyn off guard, and they played very well, and they used that to their advantage. And when LIU Brooklyn finally stepped up a little bit in that fourth set, then you realized, okay, Robert Morris just isn't able to compare against them. But if the Colonials can catch them off guard, and the Blackbirds, if they're not able to come back and play the volleyball that they've seen all year, you never know.
And I think that's important to point out is how good they looked in that first or that one set that they won against LIU, and the fact that it shows how good this team can be. LIU Brooklyn in conference play so far, in those seven games they've won in a row, they've only dropped five sets. So the fact that Robert Morris was one of the teams that took one of those sets, because, again, you know, Central Connecticut only took one set. Bryan only took one set. Sacred Heart got swept. So looking at that and saying, hey, like, Robert Morris should be able to compete with the best of the best, because, like you said, when they're playing their top volleyball, they're as good or better than a team like LIU Brooklyn. The issue's been the consistency all year. I mean, that's really been it. Because you look at some of these sets where you're like, wow, like, they really should have won that. The, you know, playing a full match, because, again, the being dubbed the Cardiac Colonials only comes from the fact that they start off so poorly and they can't find it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's huge. Again, Robert Morris playing Friday and Saturday. They got to win both, and it's going to be tough because they're top two of the top teams in the NEC. And I was just coming off the top of my head here. I want to switch gears a little bit. We've got about 10 minutes left. Real quick here first, though. Can you guess University of Houston? We were talking about how we're going to keep track of them throughout the year. Can you guess their record now? Don't look it up.
All right, well, hold on. What was their record?
Well, I should say, okay, conference
record. How many wins? Do we need to know how many wins they have?
Their conference record, they were 0-3. Just the last time. We didn't do it last week.
You're right. Okay, so they've played two conference matchups since then?
No, they've played four, actually. Yeah. We missed a week.
Yeah, so they're probably 0-7.
Yep.
I'm gonna say. Wow.
0-7. They have not won since they lost to Robert Morris.
It's the Rutgers effect.
Yeah. It's exactly what happened to Rutgers.
Isn't it? And that's so bizarre because, you know, again, I think didn't we sit there 2 weeks ago and we were like, this isn't going to happen to Houston?
Yeah, that's exactly what we said.
They're going to find it. They're going to figure it out.
Like we were saying before, like Rutgers has always been bad in the Big Ten. Like we knew that. They didn't have a good record going in when they played Robert Morris 2 years ago.
Yeah, wasn't high.
Houston was only lost one game out of 12, I think, or 13 or whatever. That was to go, they're 0-7 now. They lost to Temple, against UConn, at East Carolina, at Cincinnati, at SMU, at Memphis, at Tulane. So they haven't had a road or home game in a while, but still 0-7.
I mean, that's just, and to me, it really takes away from that statement win.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they did it. And I mean, that's just, Spencer, I'm at a loss for words in the fact that that was. I mean, I just remember, you know, when it happened, a month ago when they beat Houston. And it was this huge confidence booster. And I mean, that's a good lesson. It really is in the sense of you almost can't tell who's going to be that good team until you get to conference play. And it doesn't matter whether it's the NEC or the American Athletic Conference, clearly. Because, I mean, you knew LIU Brooklyn was going to be good in the NEC, but the polls picked Robert Morris to finish third.
Yeah.
So you don't know sometimes, and sometimes there's so much parity and they're built for a reason that way. I mean, because with Robert Morris, you can't even blame injuries.
Yeah.
You can't even look there and go, oh, well, so-and-so has been hurt and they haven't been as good because they've been hurt. Like, it's one of those things where, I mean, I know Taylor Lord didn't play this weekend, but they have so much depth that shouldn't hardly matter.
I mean, if you want to spin it at least in a positive a little bit, the game before that when they took on Eastern Michigan, they beat them 3-2. They're 5-3 in their conference.
Okay, well, that does make me feel better.
So they're at least a little bit better in the MAC, a 5-3 record. I don't know exactly about who they lost to before. Purdue, Fort Wayne. I can't find them on here. They, like, played them randomly, Eastern Michigan. I was just going to go through them.
Well, I'll give you an update on Purdue-Fort Wayne.
All right.
A team that, you know, again, Robert Morris, they were really gassed and lost a couple tight sets. Purdue-Fort Wayne's 3-5 in their conference.
Oof.
They're still 12-10. They still have a winning record.
Yeah. It's the Horizon League, I think.
I believe.
Or is it the Mid-Missouri Valley Conference?
Oh, no, you know what?
I don't know.
They have teams like Valpo.
Yeah.
North Dakota. Yeah. Western Illinois.
You know what? I think it's just, is that the Horizon? I think it's the Horizon.
It's the Summit.
Summit.
Even Summit worse. League. We just figured that out. Yeah. I'm glad we could do this together.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of so their last game was a 3-0 sweep of South Dakota State, but then they 0-3 lost to Denver, 1-3 lost to North Dakota State, 1-3 lost to Oral Roberts, 2-3 to Omaha, 2-3 to South Dakota, 3-1 win against Western Illinois, 3-0 win against North Dakota, and then a 2-3 loss to Valpo.
So They're not as successful. From the four teams that RMU, or the three teams that RMU saw that weekend, only one with a 500, over 500 record in conference.
Yeah, not, I mean, Robert Morris, you know, the thing is with the NEC, and this is in general, is you just can't be comparing yourselves to how you do against other schools, because, I mean, and this isn't a hit on anyone, because it's Division I athletics, and it's still very good Division I athletics, but the NEC is one of the weakest Division I conferences. I mean, the NEC teams, I mean, you go to the NCAA tournament to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'm saying anything that's really shocking.
No.
You go to lose. But, again, still really good Division I athletics, but comparing yourself to these other schools, it's hard to tell, because you're right. Like, you think a team like Houston's really good, they end up not being. You think a team like Eastern Michigan, they're okay, but they end up being a top team in their conference. It's just one of those things where you can't gauge your wins and losses in non-conference, and really all you're supposed to be doing in non-conference is gearing up for conference play.
Yeah, exactly.
Which clearly, you know, again, it can give you some misconceptions on how that plays, and that's why, you know, you potentially need to look deeper into these games, not necessarily the wins or losses, but who's performing well, who's not. And for Robert Morris, you know, the idea should have been, hey, we're going to find out who our star players are, who our consistent lineup's going to be, who we're going to really lean on in big games. And I just don't think they have – I don't think they've figured that out yet. And I think that's been a big issue this season.
Could be worse, though. Again, we could be having a Houston volleyball podcast.
Yeah. Ooh. You know, can we contact them? Would that be something – could we get them on the show?
I mean, I don't know if we'd want to.
Probably get us more downloads.
They'd be like – first question would be like, hey, so how does it feel after losing to us? You haven't won since.
I mean, they'd probably look at us and go, how does it feel to be in the Northeast Conference? And then...
And then
we'd hang up. And we'd go, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. What if we call Eastern Michigan? Can we do that? Like, I mean, they're playing well.
Their SID actually emailed... Their SID tweeted at me when I was doing their commentary.
Yeah.
Because I've posted it. They retweeted and everything from my tweet. And the guy's like, hey, this person's not pronounced... Or this player's last name is pronounced this, not this. And I was like, I'm sorry. And they're like, no, you're doing a great job, though. It's better than a lot of broadcasts we see. And I was so happy about that.
Well, so you made a mistake, but your mistake was still not as bad as everyone else's
I guess,
mistake.
Apparently, a lot of broadcasts
all right,
just
well, we can
awful.
Definitely make this happen. Can we get that SID, someone on? I'm thinking, like, we go, hey.
Do we want to? Because we could, I guess.
I mean, we can do whatever we want, because, you know, Logan Carney's not going to do anything. He's in charge of this stuff, but he's not going to do anything.
He won't hear this.
He won't.
He won't talk about that. He won't tell me that he heard this.
He's supposed to listen through all these podcasts, and he's probably not going to hear any of this.
You won't do it, Logan.
If he does, I'll be very... What if he just watched the beginning and the end, though?
Because
then
he'll
hear us.
I mean, we are approaching like 2 minutes left, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. So, yeah. So, I guess 2 minutes left. Should we talk about maybe how we think they're going to do this weekend?
Yeah,
I feel
guess
like that's
so.
A good place to
go. Yeah, I guess.
Some predictions.
All right, so they play CCSU first game, and they play Bryant the second one. What I predict or what I want? What I want, 3-0, 3-0. What I predict, 0-3, 1-3.
Oof. All right, so...
Actually, other way around, 1-3, 0-3.
Okay.
CCSU, they'll take a set from the Blue Devils, but they won't take a set from Bryant.
Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Are you ready for my bold prediction?
Oh, this is I'm happy if this is.
They're going to win both in 5
oh,
sets.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you heard it here first. They're going to win both in 5 sets. It's going to be the statement. I think they can do it. I have complete and utter faith.
The best thing they do have going for them though is I think they play a lot better at home than they do on the road.
Yeah. And I think again, you have to understand how long of a road trip that is for Robert Morris, but at the same time it's also a really long road trip for them.
Yeah.
And so I think definitely, without a doubt, I think they can beat CCSU because CCSU is playing on that Friday. So you don't get that day of rest that you would get otherwise. You're going right to it. You're playing them. But I think it's going to be the only way they're going to do it is in 5. Yeah. I don't see them doing it in anything less.
And Brian playing not desperate, but a team in the hunt, St. Francis PA on Friday. So that might kind of wear them down a little bit too. They might have to fight against the Red Flash, and then they'll have to take on a Colonial team that's a little bit fresher at home and will have some advantage in that sense. And, of course, in the North Athletic Complex, which the Colonial players say is the hardest place to play in the NEC because it's just awful to play volleyball in.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll have to see then.
So we will see, and, of course, that's the end of Episode 3 with closing time, and we thank you for tuning in here on RMU Radio.
Like my song choice.
It's a great song choice.
I love the song choice. On RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.